You're listening to Confidence on the Go, your go-to podcast for motivation, inspiration, and confidence to help you boldly and bravely take action in your pursuit of living life to the fullest. I'm your host, confidence coach and personal trainer, Trish Blackwell, and it's my absolute honor and pleasure to spend some time with you each week to celebrate this beautiful thing called life. All right, guys, it is episode number 146 of Confidence on the Go. I have a special guest today. I'm really excited to introduce her. But before, let me tell you what we have in store. So today's episode, we're covering a couple things. One, we're talking about trusting yourself, how to trust yourself in all areas of life. Also, we're going to learn how to trust the plan when you don't fully understand it, or maybe even when you make a major career change or life change in the middle of it, how to trust when you can't really see further than maybe two or three steps in front of your feet. And then also some coaching insights on how to trust the progress and hard work you put in on your body for your physical results. And then taking that information, how to maximize your results. Y'all, this podcast is proudly brought to you by Beauty Counter. I am just in love with everything that Beauty Counter represents. You can find out more about Beauty Counter at trishblackwell.com/beautycounter. And you can also find that website the reverse way, which would be beautycounter.com/Trish Blackwell. Kind of fun, right? So I promised you a guest speaker. I'm very, very honored and proud to introduce her to you. Her name is Megan Filneau. Let me share a little bit about her, and then you're going to know why she is so special to me. Megan is grew up as an active child, competing in soccer, basketball, softball, tennis, and gymnastics. In high school, she was ranked number 12 in the nation in doubles with her twin sister. She received a scholarship to play Division I college tennis at Davidson College. While at Davidson, she received all conference honors 4 consecutive years and was on the TIAA CREF academic team. Megan went on to graduate school for elementary education, and running became her new passion. Since then, Megan has qualified for the Boston Marathon 7 times, with a personal best marathon time of 2:58.25. Megan wanted a new challenge, and she discovered a love for triathlon. In her second triathlon, she placed first overall. In her debut Ironman, she qualified for the Hawaii Ironman World Championships with a time of 10 hours, 45 minutes, and 4 seconds. Megan was an elementary school teacher and coach for 8 years. She's now combining her love of teaching, coaching, fitness, and passion for people, and joining her twin sister in the health and wellness industry as a coach at Filneau Coaching. Her passion is helping people see their full potential. She works with clients very hard with a bright smile and a soft heart. Megan is a Lululemon ambassador, and she seeks to reach and inspire people beyond their wildest dreams. Her Ironman best time is 10 hours and 10 minutes. Her half Ironman best time is 4 hours and 46 minutes. Her marathon best time is 2 hours and 58 minutes. And her 5K best time is 18 minutes and 24 seconds. So that's like Megan on paper. Y'all, she's fast. But Megan in my heart is one of the most beautiful souls I've ever met in my 32 years of life here on earth. She literally has a passion filled that overflows with kindness and love and thoughtfulness and just true, authentic love and care for people. She is my daughter's godmother. I just adore this woman, and she is just, you know, such a beautiful gift that I had to share her with you guys as a podcast community. She is currently coaching me for my upcoming debut at the Boston Marathon. She's an amazing coach. And just what I've learned from her as a friend is incredible, but also from her in the capacity of a coaching relationship. It really made me go, okay, Megan, we've got to get you on Confidence on the Go. So she is a longtime listener, and she is excited to be here. Let's dive into that interview. All right, guys. So I told you who we were having on. I'm so excited. You've heard her sister before on the show. You've heard me talk about both her and her sister. And furthermore, to be someone who I, of all the people I know, to say this is going to be my child's godmother, shows you the amount of trust that I have in this this person's integrity, but also in her her trustworthiness. I love Megan so much for so many reasons, for how she's taught me as an athlete to trust myself, and then also as
as someone who, gosh, I'm entrusting my child's spiritual journey and wellness to, as her godmother, that should be a mark of a stamp of approval for me, from me on Megan, on why I really think she's the perfect person to be on today's show talking about the subject of learning to trust yourself. So with that being said, Megan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Trish. It's an honor to be on your show.
Megan, Megan and I wish we were in person. Gosh, we were supposed to see each other this weekend, but circumstances didn't align. So I wish I was sitting in Starbucks or on a couch with you right now sipping tea, but I have my cup of tea, and I am pretending you're across the table from me. So
you know I would be having ice cream though, right?
Yeah, you would. You would. You would be having ice cream. So, you know, what Megan and I met, gosh, we've known each other how many years? Oh, this is going to be embarrassing, isn't it? Can you do the math quickly?
It's about,
I know.
It's, what, 14 years?
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe.
Yeah,
15.
14 or
yeah,
15
crazy.
Years. Which is so funny because maybe I'm biased, but I feel like we look the same. I don't think we've aged a bit. I also remember the very first moment that I met you. I was moving in my dorm freshman year at Davidson College. I walked up the hallway. My mom was really upset because we were on a substance-free hall, and my mom thought it was going to be girls only. Well, it was girls and boys, and it happened to be that my room was the dividing room. And so I had boys on one side and across from me, and then I had you guys next to me. So I literally walked up, my mom's mad, and then opened the door, and I see two identical heads pop out the door and say, "Hi, we're your neighbors." And then what many people don't know is that your mom might as well be your triplet. Your mom looks like maybe 5 years older than you guys. You know, she's
so funny.
So then your mom's, I'm like, are there three of them or just two? So it was literally, you guys have marked my entire college memory. It's just, you know, literally from like day one. And that's my first true memory. I don't remember anything at Davidson before that moment where I walked up the stairs and there you were. So
my first memory was you said, "Megan and Kelly, you need to keep your door open because we were so shy."
Yeah. You guys, I was like, we need to be friendlier. You need to keep your door open because people are intimidated by twins. We're going to talk about that a little bit today, about what your experience of being a twin and how you've learned to trust your journey in, you know, opposition from Kelly's journey. So just a very different, you know, kind of experience that you've gotten to have having a twin. So, but let's focus on the topic to get started here. You know, you and your sister, now you guys run a world-class coaching business out of Charlotte, North Carolina, and it's called Phil No Coaching. But you didn't originally want to be a coach, right? So, could you actually share what career path you pursued originally and then how God took that passion of yours, which is really a passion to encourage, educate, and help other people grow and excel into a field that actually uses that same strength, but maybe it was a field that you didn't expect.
Exactly. I definitely didn't expect to be a coach, but yeah, ever since I can remember, I've always wanted to be a school teacher. I remember living in Pittsburgh and I was in third grade and had this amazing teacher and her name was Mrs. Chesney.
Oh.
And every time we had good character throughout the whole week during the winter months, she let us go sled riding on Fridays.
Oh, that's awesome.
And yeah, and the thing is, she had severe arthritis and she couldn't even zip up her own jacket. And so she needed a 7 or 8 year old to zip up her jacket. And it was like my first taste of vulnerability and just like I was able to get a glimpse of like authenticity and how it's so important to be humble and it's okay to meet other people and to just express, you know, your weaknesses. And it was just, I was able to see how your weaknesses can become your strengths with the right kind of attitude. And
wow.
It just really gave me this good picture of what wholeheartedness is. And I don't know, I mean, even actually playing tennis at Davidson, I had this really unorthodox serve to the point that I was embarrassed.
Really? I didn't know that.
It looked pretty. Really? Well, yeah, it was really ugly. And so the thing is, I mean, I, it was definitely a struggle on the court because I was always embarrassed by it. But then I started revamping my attitude and just realized that this quote weakness could become a strength, because so many people, they just wanted to pound it and crush it, and they would either hit it out or I would just get the ball back and they would be flustered and frustrated. So it was just neat to see how a teacher could impact me. And then ever since that third grade year, I was like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I wanted to impact children's lives like she did to me. And so, I taught for 8 years. And
yeah. Gosh, it was that long. You taught for 8 years? We really haven't known each other for too long.
I know. Seriously.
Yeah.
And so my sister, she is a professional triathlete and has her own coaching business. And it just kept growing. And she asked me, hey, Megan, do you want to join me? And I just kept saying no. And I mean, I thought I was supposed to be a teacher. And also I just didn't know if I would be good at it. I didn't know if I would like it. And I guess one summer I was kind of dabbling in it and I was really intrigued and started reading a lot and got a few certifications and I had coached a couple of people just for fun. And I mean, I don't know what it was that summer, but I actually said yes to my sister.
And
I jumped in full time with her and it's been awesome. And I mean, I'm not a risk taker per se, and it was definitely way out of my comfort zone. And I know one of your favorite quotes is from Eleanor Roosevelt. And
yes.
You always said, you know, you have to do one thing a day that scares me. And I feel like doing switching careers was a
That. And it's not that, you know, I want to be fair to you. It's not that you're just switching careers, but like you went to school after Davidson to get all of to get your master's. And so it's time invested. It's money invested.
Definitely.
It wasn't just like blowing the wind, you know? And what I just love is that you had the courage to jump, but then also that now looking at it from a 2020 hindsight, you and I could both see, like, at least I do, you have a passion for teaching, empowering, and watching others excel while telling them, like, look, like you said, that vulnerability, showing them, like, sometimes I need help too.
Exactly.
And you got to do that with your third graders. And then you also get to do it with your 30 and 40-year-old triathletes and runners. And
so true.
Neat that their strengths are used in the same capacity, just different.
Definitely. Exactly. So many of the tools that I learned with teaching, such as like differentiating instruction or encouraging others or just helping to instill a sense of belief into, you know, my students and now my clients, and just even some skills that I have, like I'm very detail oriented and organized, and it's just neat to see how those skills were able to transfer over. And I mean, it's been awesome. So just because if you're a lawyer, it doesn't mean you always have to stay in a law firm.
Right.
And I think that's just important for anyone to realize and everything.
Were you scared? How did you feel when you really went, oh my goodness, I'm like a legitimate full-time coach. I'm not when you had to start introducing people, how did you trust the path and the journey when you were like, hi, my name is Megan Filno, I'm a coach, versus hi, my name's Megan Filno, I'm a teacher.
Exactly.
There had to be something like that's got to be weird, right?
It is for sure. I mean, I think a lot of times when people ask that, I still say how I was an elementary school teacher for 8 years, and now I'm doing this.
That's funny. That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, you know, side note before we get into any other questions, one of my favorite Davidson memories in college was I didn't get to see all of your tennis matches. But I got to see a few of them that were like the outside courts. And what the audience doesn't know is that you and your sister really maximized using the identical twin card. And you guys were powerhouse doubles. Y'all should have seen them confuse the heck out of people on the court. Because you typically don't do your hair the same. You typically don't dress the same.
No.
Oh, but you did. On those days, you literally, it was just so great to see, because you were just focusing on the game, but from the stands, exactly. I was just watching people be like, wait, which ones, and I'm surely they were like, okay, she's got a different serve, but it was still confusing enough that they couldn't keep track. And as a result, I mean, you guys were great because you're great players, but I think working together as a team was also a really cool thing you got to share as sisters. But that's a whole nother note. I just feel like the audience should appreciate that. I do. my next question, Megan, is that we're talking about how to trust yourself, which really you and I both know means trusting God to be God and then trusting ourselves to just walk the path that we feel like he's kind of pulling us along on. What have you learned about trust and like really trusting him with blind steps of faith over the past few years? And I guess in particular, I'm really saying, you know, with a career change and, you know, trust of maybe life isn't exactly how you want it to look right now. Like, how is that? How is that? How have you learned to trust God through just trusting that you're stepping forward each day in the right way?
That's such an awesome question. I have definitely learned a lot about trust over the last decade. Actually, last year, my word of the year was trust.
Oh, interesting. So, yeah. I did not know
I
that.
Know.
How that this was meant to be.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm just such a planner, and I pretty much had my whole life planned out. I always thought that I was going to meet my forever man in college and then have 2 to 4 kids by the time I was 30 and live in a white house with wraparound porch.
Oh, I didn't know it was a white house. Man. It's a white house? Oh, my.
Yes, white house. And, yeah, definitely none of that happened like I envisioned. I mean, it's definitely been a struggle throughout the years because one of my biggest desires on my heart was to get married and raise a family. And so sometimes I kind of felt a little caustic and then other times apathetic. And then other times I even felt like a failure. And so, trust has definitely been a struggle. But over the last couple of years, I finally started just choosing to be content where God has me at the moment. Mm. And
that's real. That's much, true trust.
Yeah, it
Gosh,
really
that's
is.
Hard. That is so hard.
It's so hard. And so I'm just kind of striving to be like immersed in the present and realizing how this day is such a gift. And I've experienced so much and accomplished so much that, I mean, probably I wouldn't have had any of those opportunities if I was raising a family.
Oh,
and
so
I'm just trying to enjoy the day and where God has me now, but also having this hope for what's to come. And I'm like trusting God's impeccable timing. And I mean, I know he doesn't promise me a husband or anything, but he does give us our heart's desires. And
absolutely.
I mean, his ways are better than ours. And I guess I'm trying to have this like buoyancy of how my story will just ultimately unfold in like his bigger story. So it's definitely like daily surrender to his and just trusting his goodness and sovereignty, but still clinging to hope and not.
It's clinging to hope. It sounds like you're clinging to gratitude as well, because what many people don't know is like, I mean, you have essentially, along with Kelly, have had the opportunity because of the sport of triathlon really to travel the world. You know, you've done Kona. You are now, I'm going to embarrass you. Megan recently got chosen, which is, this is in the endurance sports world. This is one of the highest honors you can get into the, Timex multi-sport team, which is just awesome. Like that's a big deal. So congratulations on that. Like Megan is not one of the most, if perhaps the most humble person I know. So she's not going to tell you any of this, but you're right. If you were raising tiny human beings right now, you wouldn't have, you probably wouldn't have had all those opportunities. Really, really tap into your full athletic potential. So, I think that's really cool, the gratitude that you have.
It actually reminds me of this really good book, but it's called 1,000 Gifts, and it talks about Eucharisteo, and your brother would know all about this.
Yeah.
A lot of Greek origin and like how it means grace and joy and thanksgiving. And so just kind of having that daily joy regardless of your circumstances.
That's awesome.
I think that's definitely helped with the daily trust.
That's awesome. I'll look up that book and I'll link to it in the show notes for the audience. So guys, show notes are going to be at trishblackwell.com/145. So thanks for that. I've not read that book. I'll add that to my list.
I'm surprised you haven't read that book.
I know.
Chris, you read More books than most people will ever read in their life, you read in a year.
Yeah, I'm a nerd. Yeah, let's just put it out there for what it is. So Megan, I'm just so thankful the last couple of years, since I got pregnant, you have just stepped in as this amazing coach for me. And I've had a lot of coaches in my life. Like, let's just qualify this. I want to qualify this statement before I say it. And because I've been an athlete, like a serious athlete, since I was 4. And I'm 30. Am I 32? I think I'm 32. I'm 32. I don't know. Yeah, I'm 32. You know, here's the thing. So that's what, 28 years of having coaches. You are one of the best coaches I've ever had. So
thank you.
And that's, I'm going to do a plug for you. If anybody out there has any kind of running, triathlete, or just general conditioning athletic goals, you want Megan as your coach, and she coaches people everywhere in the world. So we're going to give you her info at the end of this. She doesn't know I'm plugging her. She's not on the show to plug herself. I'm plugging her because she's that good, and I want you to get that experience. But back to my point here is that by coaching me, you've taught me and are teaching me to approach my workouts and training with balance. And you know me, balance has been something I've been really struggling over the past couple of years. I've definitely made growth and improvements. I mean, I've had it be my word of the year for many years. And I'm certainly making some progress, but I really like to push. And it's hard for me to listen to my body to allow it to rest. And when I don't follow a workout appropriately, like for instance, if I push the pace too hard, you email me and you're like, no girlfriend.
Yeah.
That was not what the workout assigned. It said, go slow. You went too fast for your marathon pace. And now you're going to throw this off and this off. So one, it's so great that you're like, you're just so straight up with me. And then, what I think you really address what's probably going on the deeper fears, this fear that I need to go all the time. So, you know, in other words, I have some fears that I kind of keep hidden. And I think you know this probably from seeing it so many athletes about trusting that my body is going to know how to do what it needs to do when it comes to the time I want to do it. You know, like it's hard for me to trust that rest is important. Can you possibly, and you have, but I mean, sometimes I have to ask you like, hey, I'm sick. I should rest, right? I know the answer, but I like to hear it from you. So can you share with us, the community as a coach, just how important rest is for your body and how a balanced approach to training is just absolutely crucial and essential?
Sure, yeah. Rest is definitely a challenge. I think especially if you're a type A athlete and you're just super driven, I mean, it almost feels that you should always be doing something to get better. And it's almost as if stillness is looked down as laziness, or you're not going to reach your goals. And so, I mean, even just, you know, the society we live in, it just values the dedication and hard work, thinking that that's going to give you the results you're looking for. But that's missing a huge piece of the puzzle. And well, my sister can attest to this fact, because I always feel like I should be doing something. Like even when she's driving with me and I'm in the passenger seat, I'll have my computer and hotspot on and I'm working. So, I mean, and I'm learning all about rest too, but
yes. Yeah.
It's definitely, I guess one thing is that I'm learning that you need to just be able to stop, and whether it's with work, like you're not going to always get everything done, and you need to just realize there's a healthy completion for the day. And from a training perspective, it's vital to integrate the recovery into your schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many benefits of recovery that are often overlooked. I mean, the main one is it actually enables the fitness adaptations because they're optimized when you're actually at rest.
Wow. So
that's, I
don't think a lot of people know that. Right. I don't think people know that.
Exactly. And so that's a key factor for sure. And also just rest really does help prevent injuries. And it also just recharges you mentally and it keeps you more balanced. And I mean, also you have a family with kids, and I mean, I just think it's so important to just realize that it's not just about the workouts.
Yeah. And
so I just think that's crucial. But the thing is, there's so many different forms of rest. Mm. Like active recovery is crucial, just really easy, light zone one.
Yeah, can you explain that? Can you actually share one thing I've told a couple people and they're like, no, that's not right. I'm like, let me get from the horse's mouth. Can you share like what active recovery for a runner would look like? Like, and I'm going to talk pace wise because I was actually talking to my sister-in-law who's a new runner, and she's a very qualified personal trainer. I mean, she knows fitness inside and out. And when I said to her, she's training for her first half marathon, I said, hey, I want you need to vary your speeds, and your active rest days need to be this much slower than your regular activity days. She went, what? And I used you as an example. I said, well, Megan runs her, you know, marathon pace goal at this, and then her easy recovery days at this pace. Can you share like kind of what you run your like hard workout speed at per mile, and then what your slow like recovery speed is, and then maybe what Kelly does or like what Pez does? Like, I remember you guys shared with me what she does, and I was like, oh, well, if they can go that, they can have that much of a difference. So can I, and they're really, really fast. So
yeah, I mean, so
give some examples. Yeah.
I know that, well, Pez, that she is an elite marathon runner. She runs in the 230s.
Yeah.
She runs.
Can you qualify what 230 means? So if someone runs a 230 marathon, she's an Olympic trial level runner. So what's her pace per mile average, would you like, on a marathon? Like 540?
Exactly.
Okay. So 540, that's, she can run a marathon at a 5:40 pace. Okay. So what does she run her like easy recovery, active recovery days at?
There'll be some days where she's running 9-10 minute pace. So
like double, yeah.
Exactly.
So four minutes, at least 4 minutes slower.
But the, yes, and that's going to vary for the athlete.
Yeah.
So for an athlete that's running a marathon at 10 minute pace, it's not going to be a 4 minute difference.
Right.
In the
recovery. Might be like a 1-2 minute difference, probably.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so, something good to realize is that your heart is enhanced when it's working just 60%. So you have to take advantage of that fact. For a recovery run, it's super important to just make sure you're going really easy, and it's helping with the blood flow and developing your heart muscle, but it's not being all this pounding on your body. So it's so important. I mean, Kenyans, they are so good about taking their easy aerobic runs super, super easy.
Oh, really?
And so they, so, and they're the best runners in the world.
Yeah, they are. So what is your, what is your difference? Like, what's your marathon pace? And then what's your like, oh my gosh, Megan's just taking a really slow active recovery day pace.
So my marathon pace is for sub 3 hours. It's like 6:45-ish.
Okay.
And then my easy recovery runs, they'll be over a 9 minute pace.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's just so good to hear. Well, no, and I think it's saying I'm trusting my body. My body needs recovery. And that, like you said, I'm getting, as long as my heart rate's hitting that 60%, I'm getting that conditioning that I need, but I'm actually allowing my body to benefit in more ways than I could if I just thought, oh, well, I got to press it. I got to push hard.
Definitely. And it's so antithesis of what we're used to, because we're always like push.
Right.
But this is the opposite.
This is how you actually get faster.
Exactly. And with that, for runners, it's important to even cross training, and it just helps to circulate the blood, and it can help prevent your muscles from stiffening up and everything. But it's without the impact of the running. So whether you're swimming or spinning, those are all great forms for runners. And it's also good to do other forms of recovery, such as foam rolling or massages. I love massages.
I know. I'm like, you're a fan of massages. I know that.
Definitely. And Epsom salt baths, compression, wearing those compression socks or tights, yoga.
Gosh, I love those.
So I think those are all great forms of recovery. And it's also essential to have some complete rest days.
Yeah. Another kind of running question. I love the way that you've prepared me for a race. You're always giving me something to think about for each mile. So I think that I think that's really cool. But I think you do it to help me. I might be wrong, but my assumption is you do it to help me focus on my own race and keep me from the temptation of comparing myself to others. You know, just in the these main couple of races I've worked with, you've encouraged me how to trust my body, trust my training, trust my ability to go out there and do what I know I can do. And, you know, like, I don't, you remember, maybe the audience doesn't know, but before my most recent half marathon, I had been sick. I had a hip injury. Right. I was getting worried. I kind of had my last month of training before the half marathon. It was all out of whack. And you said, girl, you're good. You've put in the work. Trust your body.
Right.
And ultimately, and exactly. you said, focus on joy. All I want you to do, have fun today. Enjoy, joy, 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 joy. And girl, my race exceeded my expectations. I had like a 3-minute time drop. It was the best race that I've had in years. You know, I just want to thank you for teaching me how to trust myself and how to relax and then ultimately run better. So that being said, how did you learn to trust yourself and your body and your training for races? Like you're teaching this to me. Who taught it to you?
Well, my twin sister is my coach.
Yeah.
She's pretty awesome.
she is pretty
so,
awesome.
Yeah. She knows just how to push me and she believes in me a lot, so much, I mean, more than I believe in myself. And
yeah.
I've always struggled with confidence, and so that's something we've been working on. And over the years, I've definitely, you know, focused on that, and it's just been helpful. And there's this running coach, Bobby McGee, and he wrote how 90% of athletes perform below what they're expected to in races.
Well, 90% of them? Wow.
90%, yeah. And 9% perform at expected, and then only 1%. They actually surpass expectations.
Wow.
And Kelly once told me that I'm the 1%. And
wow.
Yeah. So it's crazy because in training, I can rarely hit my target paces. I mean, when I did the New York City Marathon, my goal was to go sub-3, and I could barely run like the 6:45 for mile repeats during a long run. And I'm like,
wow.
How am I going to do this for 26
miles straight?
But then, yeah, and then race day came, and I stayed 6:41 to 6:49 pace the whole race. And it's just like something inside of me just kind of turns it on race day, and I have this inner drive and competitiveness.
Yeah.
I think that was probably developed from all the sports I played growing up. And so I think just having my sister kind of behind my back and saying, you can do this, that really helped. And I don't know, last fall, I did my 6th Ironman, and I remember texting you, and I just said how I was having all this fear, and
yeah.
I was just thinking, I've done 5 Ironmen, and they've all gone really smoothly. I was like, this is the Ironman where I'm not going to be able to finish.
You were waiting for the other shoe to drop. Yep, I remember.
Yeah, exactly. And you and my sister, you guys said, hey, you've had 5 successful events. You need to trust that. And so I actually just transformed my mindset and I felt at peace. And then instead of believing I was doomed for this terrible race, I just started trusting the effectiveness of my preparation because I trained so hard and I enjoyed the process. And then I just trusted my history of racing. And then our motto after one of my sister's Duke teammates who was killed is to stay relentlessly positive. So that's what I aim to do. And I just kind of started filling my mind with positive mantras. And I've read a lot of mental toughness books.
Yeah.
And I think just all those little factors and writing a clear race plan, all of that just helps to prepare you and just to trust. And right before the race, I mean, I just took lots of deep breaths and then I started turning off my brain and just kind of trusted all will be well. But it's just important to actually, when you're in the race, that you have to just, sometimes you have to have this like really narrow external focus.
Hmm.
Like, let me just get to that next lamppost. Let me just get to that next water station. But then other times it has to be more of this like narrow internal, whether it's just concentrating on a mantra, like saying, I'm strong. I can do this all day.
Yeah.
I love this.
Yeah.
I was born for this, like different things like that. Or
I'm better at the end than the beginning. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Other times you have to have this more broad external focus where you're kind of like looking at the whole swim course and like looking at the grand scheme of things. And it just kind of shakes off those tough moments and just be like, hey, it's not that big of a deal that I dropped the water bottle during Ironman or just like different things like that.
Learning to let go. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then other times I go through in my head just kind of having more of a broad internal focus where I'm just kind of like I feel God's pleasure when I race. I just have this peace. I just kind of enjoy it and relax. So it's just interesting the different scenarios you play with in your mind.
How do you trust yourself when you're truly having a bad race or bad, you know, and everyone out there knows the beauty of athletics is racing doesn't just, it doesn't stay constrained to racing. I think athletics is a very tangible manifestation of life scenarios that we get to experience in everywhere else. So I think it's an opportunity to practice real life, but just in a physical way. So what have you done? How have you stayed relentlessly positive and trusted yourself when you know it's just not my day?
Right. Well, I think it's so much about your mindset. And when you're having a bad race, what I like to do is just say to myself, well, this is just a moment. That I'm just taking one foot strike, one pedal, one stroke at a time. And, you know, it's whether it's a good moment or a bad moment, it's just a moment. And I can just rekindle that fire if it's not going so well. And so I think that pretty much helps me. Or sometimes you're just like, let me get to that autopilot where you kind of get in the zone to just kind of, and not giving up. And just like in life, I mean, we're going to be going through the ups and the downs. And when you're going through the tough times, I think the true test is to just to keep fighting and know that this race doesn't define you or this moment doesn't. And yeah,
that's
I mean,
key.
Kind of,
yeah.
Yeah. And just racing smart and doing it with your head and doing it with your heart. And I think those kind of all help. For sure.
Those are awesome. You know, I kind of mentioned before that, like, for me, I lose my ability to trust myself when I find myself kind of in those dirty, muddy waters of, like, comparing myself. You know, when you get caught into that trap of comparison. So here's the interesting thing and question I wanted to ask you. Being an identical twin, you've kind of spent your life under the microscope of comparison because not because people intentionally wanted to compare you to your twin, but really because a lot of times people are like, well, how can I tell them apart? Let me compare the two of them. Or so-and-so does this and she does that. So there was – how as a twin – how have you overcome that challenge of being compared? And then how do you remind yourself on a daily basis to trust yourself to be Megan instead of be Megan and Kelly or be Kelly? Like, I mean, there's so – it's just – gosh, I think the psychology of being a twin is fascinating. But, how have you learned to just trust Megan's story?
You sure are asking me a lot of questions that I really struggle with.
I love it. They're hard questions, but I think, you know, I think we can, everyone struggles with a lot of these concepts in just so many different ways.
Definitely.
And I think we can still have profound wisdom, even if we're walking in the middle of the struggle.
Right.
Maybe I should rephrase it of not versus like, how have you overcome, but like rather, what are you learning right now about that?
Yes. Well, so I've definitely struggled with feelings of inadequacy throughout my life. I mean, growing up with my twin, I always thought she was prettier, that all my friends liked her more. She got asked to junior and senior prom. I never got asked.
Oh, wow.
She was valedictorian. I was salutatorian. Like, when we trained at a tennis academy in high school, she was always on the good top courts, and I was always lower than her. And then in college, she played number one, and I played number three and four. And so it was just constantly like, you're not good enough. Or
just a
she's
slight
better
bit
than
behind,
you.
Right?
Yeah. And then, but even more challenging than that was all the comments that I would get from people. I mean, people would ask me, well, what's it like living under Kelly's shadow? Or how do you feel because Kelly's better at, you know, better than you at this or that? I mean, even last week, someone was swimming and asked who's older. And I said, I'm older by a minute, and his response, that was the only time you ever beat Kelly.
Oh, somebody said that to you last week? I'm going to punch them.
So I'm daily dealing with this, but I think just when I was younger, I probably didn't have much confidence because I thought that I was never good enough and always second best. But then I think when I studied abroad in college and no one knew me as a twin, I started to see just my value apart from Kelly. And then when I went into my own career with teaching. I think that helped me to develop some confidence. And, but I mean, now it's ironic we're doing business together, but yeah. I guess it's kind of our maturity.
But yeah. But you guys, so yeah, I know you guys so intimately, you guys couldn't be more different. You know,
right.
And, I mean, in so many good sure. ways. And what Kelly can bring to the table, she has some great stuff. And then you have some things that, I mean, just Kel can't do. There's so many things that you bring to the table that she can't even dream of doing. And I'm very happy to say that if she was on this call sitting at our fake table with us. And she knows it.
Right.
You know, but it's you guys have had the pressure of comparison. You know, we all experienced that. But you've had it in such
Definitely.
A unique way. I think the value of hearing that, like, you on a daily basis, you keep going back to say, and I think it's interesting, you have to keep going back. And I think it's interesting that you said, like, you got this a lot when you were young, but even like you said, last week. But I think
Right. We're
always going to have to struggle with, like, that temptation to be compared or to compare. And it's
Definitely.
It's like, how do I go back to say, I'm trusting who I was created to be? I'm trusting,
exactly.
Even though if I can't see it or can't understand it, I'm trusting that God has a plan for me and my story is different and valuable.
Definitely. I mean, I think the turning point for me was definitely when I transformed my mindset.
Yeah.
It's not that my circumstances ever changed or the comments ever changed. It was more that, I mean, just realizing, you know, there's always going to be people that are, quote, better than you or you're
right.
more successful than, but
oh,
it's not
better,
about that.
Prettier, skinnier, richer.
Right.
More, I mean, you
exactly.
name it, there's always going to be someone. Yeah.
Yeah. And I started to learn that my value is in who I am in Christ as a child of God. And it's not about what I can do, but it's about who I am in Him. And so I'm just starting to become more secure in who God created me to be and
yeah.
that I have my own unique gifts. And I mean, when you're stuck on comparing yourself all the time, you're pretty much just squashing your own gift. And
yes.
And I mean,
that's amen even, to that. That is the truth.
Yeah. I mean, there's a verse from 2 Corinthians, I think in chapter 4, that talks about how we have this treasure in jars of clay. And it's to show that this all surpassing power is from God. And so and it's not from us. And just realizing that who we are is a gift, and that's how God designed us to be. So we need to embrace who we are and
yeah.
not look to the right or to the left or what we don't have, and I don't know, just kind of be the best versions of ourselves, which you definitely have that as one of your mottos. For
right,
your
right.
For
but
sure.
I love that everyone's gift is different. And that's what
yeah.
I think about. That's, for me, hearing you say that reminds me, yes, that is how you trust that you are who you need to be, because your gifts
right.
are different. I want to respect your time. I know you love, I'm telling you, I love to work as well, and you love to work. So I know you probably have a million things you're like, I want to get off this interview. I want to do some work and be productive, or lay back and enjoy your evening. But okay, one last question. Do you have open coaching spots, and what kind of coaching services can someone sign up for with you? And, you know, who do you work with? Do you work with beginners? Basically, where can someone get information to contact you?
Yes. Well, we have a great team of people, and yeah, I mean, we're pretty full, but we can always make something work.
Yeah.
And yeah, we love training beginners. I have a big heart for first timers. I mean, I just love how they're like sponges and they
yeah.
just have so much passion. So yeah, our website is Philno Coaching, and my email is philno@gmail.com. So
Perfect.
Yeah.
Awesome. 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 Megan, thank you for just being a blessing in my life. I just thank God for you. And thank you for, you know what, doing something that scares you, doing an interview. You are an introvert. This is not your, this is not what you came running down to my door saying, when can I be on the show? I came to
exactly.
you and said, I'm going to ask you to do something that is going to be uncomfortable for you. But I really believe that your message and who you are and what you can teach and share about what you're learning about trusting yourself and trusting God can be so valuable to so many people out there. So thank you for overcoming your discomfort so that you can share your story and help others.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Perfect. I love you, girl.
I love you more.
And you guys, just that laugh alone, I mean, that to me, that captures Megan. I hope that you enjoyed hanging out with her as much as I do, and I did. Just to honor her, I'm actually making her listener of the episode because she is just someone who's leading and living by example, and that's the essence of this community here at Confidence on the Go. You guys, the only other announcement I have is just a big thank you to everyone who has written reviews in iTunes. That's how this community grows. That's how more people are reached and encouraged and inspired. And then also, I've got just a few more spots in my next breakout session, which starts February 7th. It's a Sunday. You guys, it's 30 days that will change your life, and I believe so confidently that I put a money back guarantee on that. So you can get more info on Breakout and get a spot for yourself for this seriously life-changing, game-changing program at trishblackwell.com/breakout. Now guys, go out there, go be more of who you are. Be you, be free. Thanks for listening. You can get more confidence resources at trishblackwell.com. If you love the show, let me know. Write a review in iTunes or send me an email at trish@trishblackwell.com. Take your confidence to a new level by downloading my free daily guide to confidence, The Confidence Roadmap. You can grab your free roadmap at trishblackwell.com/roadmap. And you know what? I'm thankful for you. Yes, you. So thanks for being you. Now go share the best of you with the world.